Hey, I'm Andy Chanley from 88.5 The SoCal Sound, and this is a SoCal Sound session in the heart of Hollywood and No Vacancy with Arlo Parks. Hi.
Hello.
It's good to meet you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm just going to tell you, set you at ease from the beginning here. This is no gotcha questions. You're going to get all softballs and love letters from me. I'm a super fan. Thanks for doing the session. In a little bit, you're going to play for some of our members. I cannot wait to hear what you're going to play for.
Yeah, I'm playing a lot of new music as well, which is really exciting. And I feel like, you know, we toured the States so much last year, just playing Collapse and Sunbeams and older songs. So it's nice to kind of, even for me and for the band, to kind of feel re-energized and play new songs.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the new album. Well, first of all, let's go back a little bit for the SoCal Sound listener who's chancing on this and they aren't putting the name with the music. The album you just mentioned, Collapse and Sunbeams, a few years ago, that was our start with you. And I think we played five singles off there. Hurt, Green Eyes, Hope, Too Good, and Just Go. Mm-hmm. And the album won the Mercury Prize, got you a Grammy nomination. Just a fantastic record. And now My Soft Machine is the new one. It's coming out on May 26th, I believe.
Yeah.
On Transgressive and Pius. You can maybe even pre-order it if you look it up. But you've been hearing Weightless on 88.5, the SoCal Sound, several times a day for the last month or two. I don't want to say, I don't mean that it's derivative of this in any way. It's so much its own thing. But when I heard it, I got such a vibe of 10cc's I'm Not in Love. The vocal soundscape that you put behind it. It's just fantastic. It's transportive and really evocative of that 70s vibe.
Thank you very much. I feel like it was this kind of collage of millions of different influences, from ambient music to noise music to pop music. Like, I just wanted to create this like patchwork quilt of all my influences and the music that's kind of moved me over time.
I'm glad you said that, because the new album really feels like that to me. I've been spending some time with it this week.
Yeah.
And each song, well, spoiler alert, the album begins with what sounds like a tape deck starting and pops and clicks, a vinyl, that warmth. It really feels like you're entering a soft machine. But all of the songs are so different one to the next. Like Impurities has what sounds like a Japanese koto, playing over a drum loop. A Devotion is like 90s alternative with a distorted guitar, a flavor I hadn't really heard from you yet. Blades is the neo soul. Dog Rose is like indie rock and so forth. Each one is so different from the last. Was that a conscious effort?
I think honestly, I approached this whole record by making songs, and I think that's why they are so different, because I never went into it being like, okay, I have an idea, this is the kind of thread, it's kind of this cohesive piece. It was more just me hanging out with people I love and making music like day by day. And one day I would, as you say, I'd listen to like Smashing Pumpkins and Loveless and those kind of like 90s references. I'd be like making something like Devotion. And other days it would be listening to a lot of like ESG and Tribe Called Quest and those kind of influences that are more groove driven and jams. So yeah, I think that I was just soaking up as much as possible. And that's why it had such a broad kind of variety of sounds.
You're born in London, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And your heritage is African and French?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you ever look back at that and feel fortunate that you were born into such a melting pot, a place where there's everything, there's every influence in London? Versus being born in Wichita. I think you can live a universal life anywhere on the planet, but I would imagine that an artist has a lot more of a palate when you're born into a situation like that.
Definitely, and I think especially London as a city, there are so many characters that you encounter, even just like sitting on the bus and going a few stops, and I definitely felt I think that's where I started kind of being so observant and taking notes and thinking about storytelling, thinking about these characters moving through the world. And like, I think growing up in a place like that, that was always bubbling and that was always shifting, and that allowed me to go out and meet people and play in bands and just like be out in the world with a million different creative people and just a million different humans like living their separate lives. I definitely think that set me up with a curiosity for the world, for sure.
Yeah. Speaking of creative people, there's a song on this album called Pegasus. It's a beautiful duet with one of our local heroes, mm-hmm. Phoebe Bridgers. Your voices just dovetail together. It sounds so fantastic. Actually, a couple years ago, you guys did a cover of Fake Plastic Trees.
Yeah.
BBC, was it?
Yeah, it was like the Radio 1 piano sessions. I was playing piano and singing harmonies and she was singing, and it was like, I think there's a moment, actually, I rewatched it recently, and there's a moment where she like hits this note and I'm like, ooh.
I was a puddle by the end of that thing. I was wrecked. I've always loved that song. And there's certain songs where you're like, you shouldn't try to cover that song.
Yeah.
That's sacred. You guys just took it apart and put it back together. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, especially Radiohead being one of my favorite bands. I was definitely like tentative to try and even come near that. But I feel like she is so singular, and it just kind of became this like really soft thing in a way. And that's the first time that we sung together. And I remember it was the first time. The first time we ever sung together.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
because you get at the end of it, you look at each other. Yeah, it's kind of a side eye. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, we killed it. Didn't we? The two of you actually seem like you've done it several times now.
Mm-hmm.
Collaborate. Seems like there's a real connection there. There's a soulmate kind of, like, you guys get each other musically.
Definitely. I think that's kind of where the best collaborations form. Like when you just have that sense of mutual admiration. And also, I feel like our voices, especially when we play live, like when I was singing on her songs and I brought her onto Black Dog, and like our worlds just kind of mesh really naturally and organically. And she's the first feature I've ever had on my music. And it just felt perfect for it to be her.
You started your first headlining tour 3 years ago this last month. You're out starting to hit tour dates in March of 2020, and then you stop. What happened in March of 2020? Everybody got waylaid by the pandemic. Do you look back at that and think how frustrating? I'm ready to launch. I'm ready to leave. You know, to leave the nest and share my art with everybody, and everything gets shut down? Or was there anything in that delay that you find a silver lining in?
I mean, I think, to be honest, as soon as the tour kind of collapsed and it was clear that I wasn't going to be out in the world, I went inwards and I went to my anchor and my way of processing, which is writing. And I immediately started the process of making Collapse and Sunbeams. I immediately took refuge in making things and thinking about things, taking notes again, reading a lot more, watching a lot more films, just because I had that time to kind of form this little bubble around myself and really soak things up. And then I never really stopped. I worked on the record for months and I was promoting it, and then it came out and I feel like the wheel never really stopped turning for me in a way. I was like working in a different way. And then when I did come out into the world again, people had lived with those songs for a long time and they live with them through like some of the hardest years of our lives collectively. So I think that it made those shows even more special when they came.
I was just talking to someone earlier about that. People were so hungry for anything, and to have such a fine record for people to you know, immerse themselves in at that time, I'm sure that it meant a lot to people, and then to see you out playing them. And then I want to talk about this because I think it's important to talk about. You tour and do show after show after that, after you could get back to doing those things. And last fall, you said, Mercy, you said, hold on, I need to step out for a minute and take a mental health day. A few other artists did that as well. And I think it's important to say that it's okay to do that. You're 22 years old and you've just gotten, you know, you're sipping from a fire hose at what the universe has given you at that point. Do you feel now that as you're returning to playing live for people that you have regenerated and have more to give them?
Definitely. I think that so much of performance is, it's an exchange of energy, but it is also, you know, there is this sense of giving, and there is really a finite amount of energy that one human being can have. And I think especially kind of tending towards being quite introverted, being kind of perceived constantly and being constantly in motion and not really seeing my friends or my family for months, and kind of throwing everything that I had into the work can only happen for so long before I have to kind of put my hand up and be like, I need to regenerate, I need to be in nature, or I need to just like be the human being behind the project. Because I think so much of the lives that we live as artists are just geared towards the project and the music rather than the person behind it. And I just had to, do that.
Yeah. Good for you. You play piano.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you play guitar. What came first?
Piano. I played piano since I was like 7. Very much classical music. And then I wanted to learn jazz. And my teacher didn't want to teach me, so I quit. Yeah.
Was it something that you liked? Or was it something at first you were forced to do? Or was it something that you drove?
I didn't really drive it. I'm not really sure. I always enjoyed music. And I think my parents thought that it would be helpful in some way, which it did end up being. Because I write a lot of my... I feel like I'm not as good as I used to be when I was a kid because, you know, I practice every single day for hours. But just having a baseline understanding of theory and, like, how to put chords together, I still remember that. And that's still how I make my music. So I'm happy that they kind of pushed me into that gently.
Nice. All right, lightning round. I know you have to get ready for the show, so I'll let you go in a second. But what's the last great meal you cooked?
Ooh. The last great meal. Not even just meal, it's a great meal.
last one that you said, I'm going to have to do that again.
I'm going to do that again. I'm trying to think. As a touring musician, I'm like, I cook very frequently. But I think it was probably just like a set of really good mushroom tacos. I love Mexican food. So it was probably that. I was proud of that one.
Nice. Last book you read?
The last book I read, Simple Passions by Anya Now.
It's been great to get to know you a little bit. Thank you so much for making time for our listeners to do this. It means a lot. And I know in a space this intimate, some people come in with an acoustic set. You actually packed the band in here on a postage stamp.
Yeah, on the porch.
You're in for a treat here in just a minute. Thank you so much for doing it. The record comes out in May. It's called My Soft Machine, comes out on May 26th. I've heard it. You're going to like it. Go buy it. And continue to listen to Arlo's music on our radio station, 88.5, The SoCal Sound. Arlo Parks, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
I'm Andy Chanley from 88.5, The SoCal Sound.
Of you supporting us, and then we get to give some love back to you, and we support such great artists like Arlo Parks, who's coming out in just a minute. We've been supporting her first album, new album coming out in May, My Soft Machine. You've heard the song Weightless. Pretty sure we might hear that tonight. So please welcome, we are so thrilled to have her here. It is Arlo Parks.
Still wide. everybody. Thank you so much to NPR, World Cafe, and the SoCal Sound for having me. My name's Otto Parks. This is my wonderful band. And we're gonna have some fun tonight. Thanks, No Vacancy, for having us, of course. Here we go. And I usually know my strength, but here I am at 90 degrees bent. A metallic taste at the back of my throat. Watch a deltoid flex as you cough on the phone. And I've lost my grit and I'm in my head. You're so withdrawn and I'm standing there, keeping all over my eyes. Everyone, thank you for being here. We somehow all managed to fit on this wonderful porch. But I'm Arlo, and yeah, I'm so grateful to be here today. The next song I'm gonna play is a song called Impurities, and it's the first truly joyful song that I've written, and I'm very proud of it, and I'm proud to be able to really capture that feeling of joy when it was something that I really struggled to do for a long time. So here we go, this is Impurities.
Don't hide the proof.
Okay, so the next song I'm gonna play is a very important song to me. It's a song called Black Dog. And it surrounds one of my best friend's struggles with depression. And it's a song that's always been really close to my heart, and it kind of captures what it's like to care for somebody who's really suffering and not feeling like you're able to help them. And the end of the story is really positive, and she's feeling a lot better now. So I take this moment to kind of reach out to anyone who is suffering, even in the room right now, and remind you that things get better and that you're deserving of help. And yeah, I'm gonna sing this song. It's Black Dog.
What?
Take a second to introduce my wonderful band. We've got Sam on bass and synth. We've got James on drums. We've got Danny on guitar. And we've got Madeline on keys and BBs. And the next song we're gonna play is a song called Blades.
Watching light clad dance to the water, catching light like blades.
the white lightning sunsets. And you're with armored camera tracks into Sheila Fraser. And you laugh the same hand or mouth, cause you hate your teeth and I love your teeth and I'm scared to speak. Guitar time. I'm a massive fan of bands like Deftones and My Bloody Valentine, and I feel like it's not talked about enough. So I wanted to create a song that's kind of in homage of those bands that I grew up loving. And I wanted to do something a bit unexpected because I feel like no one ever thought Arlo Parks would do something like this, but here I am doing it. Let's do it.
Got me falling on my sword, but I don't resent you. Shaking it off, toes, bitter in my bones. Love you like I don't know better. Girl, I wanna protect you, I do. Oh, your touch embroiders me.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Andy Chandler. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.